This is an interview with Harry Porter, former provost in the central office of SUNY at the Holiday Inn in Chapel Hill. Harry has had a mild stroke, and we did not go to his home, really because of the snow, which had not yet been cleared from the side streets of Chapel Hill. Through January 28th, 1987, at 9 o'clock. All right, now she's going, and I'll put it right about there.
All right.
Just talk just in your natural voice.
Yes. Let me tell you the people I have talked to thus far and why I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a discussion for over a year of some kind of history of the early years of Stony Brook.
Yeah.
Some people are now looking back and saying, my goodness, how was it that we came as fast as we did and have become the kind of institution we are? And they need some kind of explanation. They were going to write a history. I was not involved in any way. And then there was a change of provosts from Homer Neal to Jerry Schubel, who is now has been director of the Marine Sciences Center. And they decided to shelve the writing of the history. But I had offered to be helpful in the days when I was there, if they wanted me to, and indicated some of the people who had passed on.
Mm-hmm.
All three governors are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Moore is gone. Tom Hamilton is dead. Stanley Ross, our dean, is gone. So Schubel said, well, maybe we ought to get some of this down on tape from the people who are still with us, from the early days, as a means of getting a perspective on the correspondence that is left. And he asked me if I'd be willing to do the interviewing of the early days.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked to first four people on our own campus. Sidney Gelber, Francis Bonner, Tom Irvine of engineering, and Cliff Swartz in physics. And they said, if anybody writes the history of the Oyster Bay days, nobody will believe it. Which I think is a good comment. Of course, I wasn't there, so everything that I have known is secondhand.
Yeah.
Then I've since interviewed Charlie Foster, Larry Murray, Norm Hurd, the budget, Steve, Elwin Stevens, and George Dudley of the construction fund.
Yeah.
And you are next, and I'm headed for Florida.
Very good.
So suppose we start off with the usual questions. When did you come to the central office, and under what circumstances?
Well, I came, you had to take a date.
Yes, I'll check dates.
I came at the request of Hamilton. He came to...
Hamilton brought you in.
Yeah.
Yes.
He came to Colonia and met me.
Yes.
He didn't meet me, I had a conference.
Yes.
But then he later called and asked me to be both.
You were president of Fidelia.
Yeah.
Right.
And he asked me to be both, and I accepted.
All right. Okay. He asked you to be the provost.
Yes.
Right. All right. And that was around 61?
I think so. Now, those dates, you can figure.
Right. Had Lee been fired?
Yes.
He had been?
Yes.
He had already been fired?
No, he hadn't.
He had not. Right.
He was fired after I came.
I see. Had he fired Olson?
No.
He had not yet fired Olson.
No, Olson wasn't fired, was he?
What's that?
Olson wasn't fired, was he?
As I understand it, Lee let Olson go, and then himself was fired.
No.
No?
I don't think so. I can't be sure of that.
All right. Okay. Well, you knew Olson.
Yes. Was he in Chicago then?
Yes. He was from Chicago. As I understand it, he was an assistant to Carlson at the time that they were setting up the Oyster Bay Center.
I can't remember that.
All right. Okay. Well, go ahead with what you remember now about the Oyster Bay days.
Well, do you want to live in a town of it? A recollection or what?
Your own recollection, I think.
Well, when I arrived there, it was a rural park.
Yeah.
It was a world of its own.
Yeah.
And I was only part-time there.
Right.
And I, this is why I expected this for you to ask. I expect you to ask a specific question. And I've got some. And my memory is good, but my tongue is bad.
take your time, Harry. We've got lots of time.
Well, I went down. The first Carlson of Hamilton called me when I was out of town somewhere and asked me if I would go to Stony Brook.
Had he been down there?
He had been or not, I can't tell.
Yeah.
And he was to be the head of it.
Yes.
And I was to be the dean.
I see.
And then, this was a compact of completely, he later made me head of it.
Yes.
It was in the spring, I think. I was on it in the fall. I got that in zero weather. I started out as assistant to him,
yes.
And I ended up as the acting head.
Acting head of the center, yes. Yeah.
And now, what am I supposed to do?
All right. What were the major problems that they were facing? As I understand it, the faculty was divided.
Yes.
And it was divided in support of Lee and in support of Olson.
Yes. Yes.
And Olson was trained in philosophy,
yep.
Even though he did not have his PhD.
We didn't?
No.
I didn't know.
No. And Lee was an engineer.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, Lee had been brought in to be dean of the graduate work, and Olson had made such a fine introduction that of him that Hamilton said, "Oh, why don't we make him president?" Now, this is what I've heard.
I think that Lee was hired to be president.
Yes. Well, sooner or later he was. Yes.
I think it needed it was.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I wasn't on there.
Yeah. Anyway, when you got there, why were you made head? Lee must have been gone then.
Yes, he was. When Hammond called me, he told me that Lee had been fired and he needed somebody down there.
Yes.
At least part of the time.
Do you know why Lee was fired?
I know one reason.
Well, let's have it.
I don't know whether he was or not. He was sad. He talked with Hamilton up in New York State, up in Albany.
Yeah.
And Hamilton gave him the word that he was to call the faculty, a call down there, and cancel a faculty meeting. He told him to cancel that academy meeting. I can't recall exactly what the subject was. It was a revolting subject. And so Lee called him from Hamill's office
and canceled the meeting. And so that was the end of that particular session with him. Now, listen, he went down the thruway and stopped at the first place. I forgot the name of it. Where he could pick a call, and he called and reinstated the meeting. And that did it for Hamilton.
I see.
Now, I know that's true.
I see.
And that did it, and it made Hamilton's mind.
Uh-huh. I had heard also that he had asked for a lot of money, thinking that he was carrying out the designs of the field report, and then he could not spend all that money, and under state regulations, they lost the money.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
All right. Okay. Then how did I get into the picture? You know?
Yes.
I'm not quite sure.
Yes. Well, Ellen told me that as soon as I could be there indefinitely, or I could get someone to come and take my place.
Right.
And that summer, this is the summer after I came down in the fall, the winter.
This must have been the summer of 62.
Well, whatever it was.
All right. Yeah.
And I began searching for someone. And somehow I got into touch with you. I don't know how it was.
Yeah.
And then when you came, within September, was it?
September of 62.
All right. And that was the end of the time. The end of my time down there.
Right.
And you became the head of it. I can't remember how you came to my attention or anything about it.
I see. Okay. As I understand it, I was hired as executive dean in the Albany office.
No.
On detail down here.
No.
No?
No. You were hired as an interim president.
I see. But without the title. I'm acting chief administrative officer.
Something like that. Yes.
Something like that.
Yes.
Okay. And I was also dean of arts and sciences. I had the two hats.
Oh, was that right?
Yes.
Well, I wasn't aware of that.
What do you think were the major problems that we faced?
Going back to the fall, when I came in there, it was a maelstrom of interests and personalities, and there were people who barely knew each other. I went to one as an example. I went to one office place upstairs. I can't remember what it was. Okay? And I knew a certain man, so I asked him where another man lived or worked. I said, gee, I've never heard of him. I don't know. And I walked across the hall. There was a man. He walked. His office was across the hall from that fellow. He didn't know him.
This was in Oyster Bay.
Yeah. And so the place was badly divided and subdivided, and it was very, very difficult to work. And that's enough for that.
Was Olson a good administrator?
I don't know. He wasn't there when I was there.
Yes, I think.
I can't remember what Olson's place was. I don't think he was there. No.
Right. Alan Austell?
Yes.
The dean of students.
Yes.
Do you remember anything about him?
Do I remember anything about him?
Yes. What kind of a person was he?
He was a fellow. Now, this is a dangerous thing to say. This is an off-the-cuff comment.
Right.
He was the kind of fellow who would appropriate in a small institution. And as when Lee came in, he changed the nature to a big institution.
I see.
Now, it was a big institution, the name only, but he had the sight.
The imagination?
Yes. Yeah. And he imagined it a big institution. And that was a very difficult thing for an Austin.
Right. Was he one of the people who had to be loved by the students?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Do you know anything about the planning of the buildings, specific buildings that we had? When I came in September of 62, there were three buildings in operation. The first dormitory, quad, so to speak, with a dining hall. The humanities building, where we had the library and my office and classrooms and offices. And the chemistry building, those three. I think the library was under construction, the first biology building was under construction, and the second group of dormitories were under construction. Were you involved in any way in the planning of any of the structures?
No.
Do you remember anything about the establishment of the construction fund?
Well, a bit, yes. How about it?
I think it followed disappointment and unhappiness with the work of the State Department of Public Works.
Yes. That was part of that.
And this was Rockefeller's idea, was it?
I think so, yes.
To set it up?
It was his or not, I don't know. He adopted it.
Right. And I know George Dudley was a close friend of his.
Yep.
And they put him on as one of the three trustees.
Yep.
I don't know who the other two were.
I don't know.
Steve, as I understand it, was in Otto Tegan's office at the time.
Yep.
And he was the... Do you know anything about Otto Tegan? Did you have any...
Yes.
Can you say anything about him?
Well, he was a conservative fellow. Conservative in nature. He was an opinionated fellow.
Yeah.
And he was a nice fellow to work with. But he could be an obstreperous, in other words, absent.
Yes.
So he was a strange combination.
Uh-huh.
One time I brought to his office a copy of a plan that had been offered to me by somebody who had come to our campus and did this voluntarily. A plan for showing the campus. This is way ahead. This is ahead.
A plan for Stony Brook.
Yeah. No. You look for the campus.
For Donate campus. Oh, I see.
And he he took it from me and put it over there. That was it.
Wouldn't look at it.
No. So he was a conservative fellow, and he did as he pleased.
Yeah, I see.
All right. I wish I had my former speech, you know, with me. I could make a speech about these things. I address in sentences now.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, you're doing very well.
Right.
Don't say
it. Okay.
Okay. You and I got along pretty well.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I know I was grateful to you for taking on some of the difficult personnel cases.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those?
Yes.
Martin, for instance?
Yeah. Okay.
They could have saved themselves a lot of trouble if they had checked back some of these people on the previous campus where they had been.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sure some of them were unloading cases by the other institution.
Well, now, what do you mean?
They were happy to see them go.
Well, I don't get it. I don't get it.
All right, well, I was thinking of Mark.
Yeah?
Where was he? Where had he been before he came here?
He was Maryland. He was in Maryland.
Really?
Yes. At, Johns Hopkins. Johns Hopkins.
I see.
And I don't know much beyond that about it.
Well, then, Olson must have hired him. Or did Lee hire?
We need it.
Lee.
He got in trouble when he was there.
Yes.
And I went down there. I went down to Maryland.
You did?
Yeah. To see the people who had known about him.
I see.
And it developed that he had never completed that bit of work. And
he was away for the PhD.
Yes. Well, he finished that. I can't remember now, but I did. Here's one thing. What did he base his visit on? He judged members of his department. No idea. There's something in his record.
In Martin's record, yeah.
But this is a bit of a careful.
No.
There's nothing in his record. There's nothing in his record. But I investigated him, and it was my turn then to do something.
Yes.
And so I told him he had to go.
I see. Yeah.
I think that's it.
And you did us the favor.
Yes. I did. And it was another one. I did the same with who was the fellow who was in the math department?
Math department.
Was,
I think I know.
Oh, boy. He wouldn't have been there when you were there. But anyway, I got rid of him because he had.
Right.
And he had me pilloried. And in addition to that, he had not done his work.
Do you remember anything else about the problems that Stony Brook had or the successes that we had? For instance, the Muir Commission. Came out with a report in 63 recommending the Health Sciences Center be established at Stony Brook, the first Health Science Center. Do you remember anything about them? Did you talk to them before they came to us?
Yeah, I came.
They came in, I hadn't been on the job more than a couple of months when two of them, Muir and Lester Evans, came into my office.
I can't remember what they're talking about.
I see.
No?
Evans is dead. And whether there's ever any correspondence there, I don't know. At the Commonwealth Fund. This is a personal question. What do you think my contribution was? Those first 3 years before John Cole came.
It was 3 years.
It was supposed to be only one, you
my
know.
God. Holy smokes. That's, is that right?
John Cole came in officially September 65.
Well, one, you were supposed to sit down and run the place.
Right.
Right. You did that. And you were supposed to be a peacemaker.
by that, I mean. And not be involved in either side of the dispute. Remind me of that. I'll tell you what the story about.
Okay.
And I think you did very well. The reason I think you did very well is that I didn't have to contend with it anymore.
I took it off your hands.
So yes, it took off my hands. And I was able to go about my business. I didn't do much business in that first year I was there. But you were trained by your experience to do the job, and you're capable of doing it. And this I know. You lined up, and you lined up with the people at Stony Brook against the central office, insofar as against possible. And that was right. I think you were against me very often. Yeah, well, I mean, you took that position. You were in favor of Stony Brook and against me. That was better than being for me against Stony Brook, I think. So I was willing to put up with that. I got sore words twice, but not badly. And so I think that you adopted the right answer.
Okay.
I can't remember the specifics.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
All right. I remember our meetings.
Yeah.
With Collins and Anderson and somebody from Binghamton. The four of us met with you. You had us meet together occasionally. You remember that?
Yes, yes.
And
we didn't have a dean for the four-year college at the time.
For the university centers,
yeah.
No. No.
Yeah, that's here.
Yes. I remember also the yardsticks differed a little bit. You were looking at how far the university had come from where it had been previously, and were proud of that, which you should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in from outside, I was looking at what needed to be done, and I was thinking nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking comparatively in terms of the structure of each department.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I also felt that there was a certain amount of relativism, Stony Brook in relation to each of the other four.
Yeah.
And we were trying, I remember in those meetings, to decide, in some instances, which institution would do what. In other words, marine sciences, you remember?
Yeah.
Would be logically at Stony Brook. And I think we were all good friends and trying to do the best we could under the circumstances. In the way of planning. How do you account for the relatively rapid development of Stony Brook? This is a broad question.
Yeah.
Who as individuals in the central office and the budget and the governor's office, the trustees, would you single out as being particularly influential?
Well, the decision to make that a first-rate institution had been made long ago, long before this was done.
Right.
And the development of the plan at Tony Brook went ahead as if it had been decided. It had all been decided.
Right.
And
under Harriman, would you say that as a result of the Heald report?
I don't know. But it was clear that a university center was needed on Long Island. And that was a clear message that the university got. I don't know when the decision was made to do it this way, but it was taken for granted that it was going to be larger than Albany. What?
Larger than Albany.
And larger than what's the name?
Binghamton?
No.
Binghamton?
Yeah.
Right.
And at that time, Buffalo hadn't committed yet.
Yeah.
So I think that for a long time it was anticipated it would be a big university.